They stared blankly at him. This fool didn't know they were about to assume new names and flee their country and their communities for at least 2 years? Who was on which side here? And why was the president granting them clemency when they had enough dirt to destroy Aaron Lake, the man who was primed to defeat the vice president? It was Lake who wanted them silenced, not the president, right? How could Lake convince the president to pardon them? How could Lake convince the president to do anything at this stage of the campaign? They clutched their pardons and sat speechless, their faces drawn tight as the questions hammered away inside. The man from the bureau said, "You should feel honored. Clemency is very rare." Yarber managed to acknowledge him with a quick nod, but even then he was thinking, "Who's waiting for us on the outside?" "I think we're in shock," Beach said. It was a first for Trumbull, inmates so important that the president decided to pardon them. The warden was quite proud of the three, but uncertain as to how the moment should be commemorated. "When would you like to leave?" he asked, as if they might want to stick around for a party. "Immediately," Spicer said. "Very well. We'll drive you to Jacksonville. No thanks. We'll have someone pick us up." "Okay, then. Well, there's some paperwork. Make it quick," Spicer said. They were each given a duffel bag to collect their things in. As they walked rather briskly across the grounds, all still very close together and in perfect step, with a guard trailing behind, Beach said under his breath, "So who got us the damn pardons?" "It wasn't Lake," Yarber said, just barely loud enough to be heard. "Of course it wasn't Lake," Beach said. "The president wouldn't do a damn thing Aaron Lake asked him to." They walked faster. "What difference does it make?" Spicer asked. "Doesn't make any sense," Yarber said. "So what are you going to do, Finn?" Spicer asked without looking. "Stay here for a few days and ponder the situation? And then if you figure out who's responsible for the pardon, then maybe you won't accept it? Give me a break." "Somebody else is behind this," Beach said. "Then I love this somebody else, okay?" Spicer said. "I'm not sticking around to ask questions." They ransacked their rooms in a mad rush, never slowing to say goodbye to anyone. Most of their friends were scattered around the camp anyway. They had to hurry before the dream was over or before the president changed his mind. At 11:15, they walked through the front door of the administration building, the same door they'd each entered years ago, and waited on the hot sidewalk for their ride. None of the three looked back. The van was driven by Wes and Chap, though they gave other names, they used so many. Gilroy Spicer lay down on the back seat and covered his eyes with a forearm, determined not to see anything until he was far away. He wanted to cry and he wanted to scream, but he was numb with euphoria, sheer, uncut, unabashed euphoria. He hid his eyes and smiled a goofy smile. He wanted a beer and he wanted a woman, preferably his wife. He'd call her soon. The van was rolling now. The suddenness of the release had them rattled. Most inmates count the days, and in doing so know with some measure of accuracy when the moment will come. And they know where they're going and who's waiting for them there. But the brethren knew so little, and the few things they knew they didn't really believe. The pardons were a hoax. The money was nothing but bait. They were being taken away to be slaughtered, same as poor Trevor. The van would stop any minute, and the two goons up front would search their bags, find their dirty files, then murder them in a roadside ditch. Maybe. But at the moment, they did not miss the safety of Trumbull. Finn Yarber sat behind the driver and watched the road ahead. He held his pardon, ready to present it to anyone who might stop them and tell them the dream was over. Next to him was Hatley Beach, who after a few minutes on the road began to cry. Not loud, but with his eyes tightly closed and his lips quivering. Beach had reason to cry. With almost 8.5 years to go, clemency meant more to him than to his two colleagues combined.